So this month we've been focusing on missionaries and why it's important for us to share about Jesus. God's work is happening all across the world, right? Sometimes we think, oh, God's only working in the mission field across countries, but God is working here in America as well, and he is working in your workplaces and your schools and your neighborhoods. So last week, Pastor Chris mentioned this circle that he talked about. So this is a cycle that is where God has a plan for us, and he has his desires for us, but we are people who are trapped in sin, right? We are sinful, we are broken, and we are in need of repentance. And that good news is that we have Jesus, that he came to die on the cross for us, and that we can make our way back to living a right life with Christ. But there are many people still to this day that are living in that sinful and broken lifestyle. They are stuck because they never get a chance to hear about Jesus, to be able to repent. So who will lead them to Jesus? Who will share the good news of the gospel? Our involvement in sharing Jesus is a multi-step approach. Prayer, which is what I'm going to talk about today. Hospitality and love, because you cannot have hospitality and rudeness, right? You have to have hospitality and love. Invitations for Christ, and then, of course, making disciples. It's all part of an action plan, right? How we witness and win people for Christ. It's important for us to understand that each of the parts that Pastor Chris will continue to preach on, Lord willing, for the next few weeks, they're not separate parts, but they are all part of the same plan. It is not one or the other, but all of it. And it's not just for you, it's not just for your neighbor, it's not just for me, but it's for all of us because we are all the body of Christ. We are all to engage in his work as there are literally billions of people who need to hear the good news of Jesus. If you had a chance to look at those tables, you will see each continent or each nation that we have represented has a list of how many people are in those nations and then how many missionaries are there. The comparison is extreme. There are never enough people to share about Christ in the world. That's why it's our job also to share about Christ here, as others are called to go across other parts of the world. So prayer. Prayer is important, right? It is the first step that we're going to talk about today. So as a Christian, if I say to you, is prayer important? Your response is usually what? Yes, right? If I were to ask you, do you pray as much as you should? No, that's probably what a lot of people say. We might say, yeah, but then we're like, wait a minute, do I? You know, do I pray as much as I should? Are my prayers enough? So why do we pray? Prayer continues our deep relationship with God. How many of you know you cannot have a best friend without talking? Right? Yeah. Despite what young people think, texting is not really talking. I mean, it's talking, but it's not, you know, face-to-face, that communication. But that's almost about how it is like talking to God. Sometimes when you send out a text message to friends, do you ever just wait for that reply? Yeah. And sometimes you're just waiting, right? So sometimes in our relationship with God, when we're working on that communication through prayer, we don't always get things immediately. But that's why it's important for us to continue that relationship, continue that commitment, continue that connection with him. Prayer opens the way for a spirit-filled life. It's important for us to have the Holy Spirit in order to be witnesses. Prayer helps us through spiritual battles. How many of you have ever been through a spiritual battle? It's real, right? There's literally a dark place and an evil that likes to battle for you. And prayer is important to win those spiritual battles. Can you do it on your own? No. So when we are praying for that spiritual battle over the minds and hearts of others so that they hear the gospel, it is important for us to battle for them. Prayer is powerful because we are praying to the one true God. And God is powerful. And without prayer, nothing will change. James 5, 16 through 18 says this, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent rain down and the earth began to yield its crops. I always like this verse because I love how it says that, you know, Elijah's a human, just like we are. But when he prayed, God listened. And that's important for us to remember because sometimes we think God's not always listening because he doesn't always answer it the way that we think he should answer it. But God is always listening to our prayers. So my goal today is to equip you to pray and to mobilize your prayers for your neighbors. So tonight we'll pray for the nations. We'll have some points to pray for different missionaries. But this morning we're going to talk about praying for your neighbors. So prayer helps us to take ownership of our neighborhood. It creates an intentional focus and a conversation for our neighbors. Whether we walk our neighborhood or drive, I've walked sometimes, but I mean most of us drive in and out of our neighborhoods daily. We have different perspectives on our neighborhood. Some of us may like our neighborhood. How many of you like your neighborhood? I really enjoy my new neighborhood. How many of you think that you are at the place that you live at for God's purpose? All right. How many of you ever thought that before? I am where I am because God placed me there and in my neighborhood. Do you know your neighbors? My 12-year-old can circle the entire block and tell me exactly who lives at every house. And why is that? Because she's intentional. I've learned something through her. She rides her bike daily and we'll go out and she'll come back and tell me all the good details about all my neighbors and that they said hello. And I have yet to realize who is where and who she's talking about, but she knows because she's intentional. So may we all learn something from that. You can be neighbors and live next to somebody your whole life and never actually know them. So you have to be intentional. So when is the last time that your prayers actually included praying for your neighbors? So on your seat, you have this sheet. It can look a little intimidating, but I want you to take it home with you, and I'm going to highlight some things about it today. So this is a prayer walk, which can be done obviously walking, driving, riding your bike, however you want to. But we're talking about serving Jesus outside the four walls of the church. It is tough to reach non-believers if you never have them on your mind to be praying for them, thinking about them, and talking to them. Most of us pass non-believers every day. Every day. We go to work with non-believers. We go to the grocery store. We pass non-believers in our neighborhood. Every day we pass non-believers. Do we ever stop and wonder what their spiritual condition is? Do we ever stop and wonder why they don't go to church on Sundays? Are they connected somewhere? What is their spiritual life like? What would it be like if some of us took this home and actually started praying for our neighborhoods? I think we would start having some great effect, but we would have even more of an effect if all of us took this home and all of us started praying for our neighborhoods. Because there is power in prayer, because the power is from God. So on the front of this, it says basically 9 reasons why you should be prayer walking. So prayer walking is exactly what it is. You're intentionally praying while you walk. Particularly today, we're talking about in your neighborhoods. So prayer requires us to sometimes step out of our comfort. Sometimes we think that we can only pray at home, we can only pray at church, but prayer is allowed anywhere, right? Did you know that? If you didn't, this is news for you today. You can pray any time of the day. The Bible even says that. But far too many churches are focused inwardly. They don't actually focus on outwardly praying for their neighbors and the non-believers. Prayer walking helps believers see us in a different way. Most of us pass them. Some of us may not even smile or wave at us. But if we're intentional and we start praying for them and noticing them and we start smiling and waving and talking to them, they may see us in a different light. Prayer walking leads us to focus on people. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get scattered in my prayer, okay? I feel like I'm popcorning my prayer to Jesus, right? And so I have to be intentional when I want to sit down and have a focused prayer time so that I have points to pray through, people to pray through, and you can add people in your neighborhood to pray for. So when you are walking and you're knowing who lives at that house, you're being more intentional to pray for them. You can also do this at your workplace. You walk by a cubicle or share a workplace with somebody. If you're at school, you share locker spaces or whoever around you, you can be intentional in praying for them. Prayer walking helps us to see things that we have missed before. Maybe we missed the sign about a new mosque being built on the street next over. Maybe we didn't read that there was a, you know, divorce care happening somewhere. Maybe we didn't know that the homeless shelter down the road has its occupancy is full. Maybe we drive by the local bar and don't pray for the people in there. We need to be intentional whenever we pray for our community. The entire family can pray as they walk. If your child can talk, you can teach them to pray, even if it's simple, right? Praying for your neighbors. Just saying, I pray for my neighbors. I pray for my friends. What I love about that is that you can teach your children to pray with you for your neighbors, and you're teaching them that prayer is important for people who are lost. Sometimes whenever you're walking and you're being intentional and praying, you may meet people that you've never met before. I live in Chaska, so the Chaska walking trail is behind my house. If you ever walk it, you could end up behind my house and my kids could stop you because they like to stop people and pet their dogs and talk to them. And everyone just, you know, does that because it's great. And then I have to go out because I see adults talking to my kids, and then I get to engage with people as well. And so I may not remember their name always, but I can remember their face. And the next time they're walking by, and if I'm in the back, I can say hello and send a greeting to them. So they can be ways that you're walking or other people are walking and you're just outside. They can be ways for you to meet people that you've never met before. And as we're praying and we're meeting people and we're building relationships with them, somebody just might come to know Jesus from the result of that prayer walk. So I encourage you to set a time to take your first prayer walk. If you've never been on a prayer walk, I encourage you to do so. You can pray over schools. You can pray over parts of your communities. You can pray over government buildings. You can pray over our church. You can pray over the neighborhood over there. And you can pray over your own neighborhood. Do you have to walk all those miles to pray? No. You can drive in your car. Some of you already walk. How many of you are walkers? We had quite a good bit in the first service. We have a few in this service. It's kind of like, walking maybe. Now, how many of you drive a car, right? Most of us adults all drive a car. So as we're driving, we can be intentional in our prayer. But I encourage you to set a day and set a time that you're going to be intentional to start your prayer walk. Say you're going to do it Tuesday. Say you're going to do it Wednesday. Pick a time and stick with it. Expect this to be the beginning of God working through you to reach your neighbors. Through your prayers, you can become a witness to your neighbors and to your community. I think I said it before, sometimes you may be the only Jesus people will see. But as we are being witnesses, we are depopulating hell and filling heaven. That is what is important. Our prayers and petitions to the Lord can be all sorts of different things and thanksgiving. But if we are not praying for the lost, we are missing a part of what God has called us to do. Through our prayer, God's power is released. Through our prayers, we can reach our neighbors. I encourage you to take this home. Yeah, it's kind of homework. I get it. But what better homework than to have for the Lord, right? And to reach people for his kingdom. Maybe you're like, I don't know how to pray for my neighbors. Well, on the back side of it, it tells you how you can pray for your neighbors. Maybe you see a for sale sign in your neighborhood. Pray for the new people that are going to come in. Maybe you live next to a school. Pray for the school. But there are 10 different ways for you to pray for your neighborhood. You don't have to come up with things on your own. We want to equip you to be able to do this. But just remember, too, the Lord is going to be able to guide you through the Holy Spirit on who you need to pray for and how you need to pray for them. So as Pastor Nick comes up, we're going to take this opportunity to think about maybe you have a neighbor that you know well. Maybe you're thinking, I've talked to them for years. Do they go to church? What about their spiritual life? Take time this morning to pray intentionally for them. Maybe you're like, I don't know a single person who lives next to me. I don't know their name. Pray that God would give you the opportunity to meet your neighbor. Maybe it's a neighbor over a block over. a neighbor is a neighbor, right? Your neighbor is not always in your neighborhood, but the neighbor is also the person next to you. So it can even be as simple as whenever you're out in the grocery store that you constantly see the checkout lady is the same one all the time. Maybe you can pray for her. But we're going to take this time this morning and we're going to respond. I know all of us know at least one person we can pray for, right? So as Pastor Nick begins to pray, I want us to come and pray. You can kneel here, you can kneel at your seat, but we can't talk about prayer without ending in prayer. And it's important for us to bring our prayers and petitions before the Lord. We cannot reach people without first having their name be brought to the Lord, for the Lord to open up that door for their ears to be able to hear his word.